Could I just quickly go back to the parliamentarians? Did they, you mentioned Jim and Killen and Irwin and James, did they come to continue to visit your office when you were the Prime Minister's personal secretary?
Jim Killen certainly did. Yes, I've got vivid memories of him sitting there as I smoked my way through the day, or the evening more likely. He'd be more likely to visit in the evening when after dinner, and looking for, one had to be, or he had to be in the place because of the need to be there for divisions, but not a whole lot of, he couldn't have been a minister then. I'm thinking of the opposition times when he used to, but in government, he certainly used to spend a bit of time sitting beside my desk, rabbiting away.
What about, you mentioned the 3 hour, where effect on the other side of politics. What about members of the Labour Party?
I'm just trying to think of anybody. Well, Bill Morrison, there were quite a few people who were probably the more outgoing social types, and also people who may have visited us because of the office we worked in rather than anything else. I guess they were being seen, or I don't fully understand what their motives would have always been, but... There was a group of old senators who used to send us a box of chocolates every Christmas. There were about 6 of them. And there were other people who were sort of close to Whitlam who'd come. There were other people who we didn't see. It was certainly an opposition. That office was, as I say, not very big, so there wasn't a lot of room for visitors. And you could hear everything that everybody said. There was only... 2 of the offices, Whitlam's own office and the senior private secretary's office, that had a door on it. So anything that anybody said could be heard by everybody else. So I guess there were times when you'd have to say to somebody, look, I'm sorry, I've got to do such and such. Do you mind? And they'd get the message and go.
Did you ever, any of these parliamentarians ever become what you might call a friend?
No, I didn't ever. Have any friendships with any parliamentarians. Interesting.
This is on either side of...
No. No, I mean, I'd say Jim Killen was a friend, but I mean, I wouldn't ring him up if I was feeling down. He's not that sort of friend. He just was somebody I knew quite well because we'd spent a bit of time together, but in this place, so a limited sort of a areas of common interest.
But with the press, there were you said that there were you certainly seem to have developed some friendships.
Yes, I think it was perhaps they were more my own age. They were interested. They were leading a lot of them. If they were married, they didn't have their children at this stage, or they weren't married. So we used to go to the Saturday afternoon picture theatre, or we used to go to picnics. And I'm still in touch, still friends with, 3 or 4 of them.
Who are they?
Well, Barry Wayne was a journalist for the Australian, and we first met him in September 67 at the Capricornia by-election. John Lombard was, when he was working here, working for the Sun News Pictorial, and I'd met him actually through an outside parliament connection. So he's an Irishman. He came to Canberra to work in the press gallery about a month before I was put onto Mr. Whitlam's staff, and he was helpful in saying that I should know that, having been here a month, he was informing me that I should know that Mr. Whitlam was a very hard taskmaster. So John's still a friend. I still see Laurie Oakes. An awful lot of them. Some of them, unfortunately, have not survived. I see Mungo occasionally, Mungo McCallum. I've seen John Stubbs, although he's not well now. But so there were quite a lot of the younger ones that I've kept in touch with.
Did you ever see? Do you have any dealings with Alan Reid?
No, he was not. He was of an older generation, and he was not trusted in by the Labour side of politics. He used to hold court. You've probably heard this story before, but he used to hold court in King's Hall. There was that glass table with the Magna Carta in it, which was, as you were looking from the front towards the library, on the left as you were heading for the opposition corridor. And he used to loiter on that in the mornings with his elbow on the glass thing and just, you know, catch passers-by and snippets of information. And he was writing for Packer, so he was not... No, Packer Press wasn't friendly to Labour, so... I didn't have anything to do with him.
Did any of the journalists ever come into your office and sort of looking for information?
They would have come in with direct questions for Graham, or, you know, legitimate questions, but not sidling up to anybody for sly information, I don't think. There's one story which Phil Davis, a friend of mine, tells him. He was working for Philip Lynch at the time, and he used to come by occasionally with a bottle of beer in a brown envelope and have a drink in the office with us. And when he did come in, Whitlam saw him, he always called him Corporal, and he'd say, "Corporal, come in here and tell me what those bastards are up to now." Just because Phil worked for the other side, but there wouldn't have been any information exchanged that shouldn't have been. It was all a bit of a joke. It wasn't a serious attempt at political espionage.
So the relationship with the press, you mentioned there were a number of others you may have had dealings with, and there were social occasions as well.
Yeah, more social probably than, I mean, except when we went away on trips, we'd obviously spend time in the plane or over dinner or whatever with the journalists, and overseas trips certainly. The trip to Papua New Guinea, we had about 5 journalists on that trip. So yes, we were in each other's pockets quite a bit, but then we'd retreat, we'd go off and do whatever work we had to do, and not be in their company at that time. But the socialising over meals and so on was very natural and comfortable.
Back to the parliamentarians, were there any of them that you particularly admired and respected on either side of politics?
I suppose there were people that you liked better for whatever reason than some other people. There were certainly people that I disliked and disrespected, like Vince Gere. I mean, he's a terrible man, and he, poor Margaret Whitlam, who protocol arrangements would have it that she had to sit beside him at formal parliamentary lunches and so on, just because of his relationship as leader of his party and her relationship as the wife of leader of the opposition. Protocol had it that's the seating arrangement, and she got so upset by his behaviour, she asked to be moved, which was very hard for protocol to do, but that's what protocol's about. It's making people comfortable, so she was moved. But people that I'm particularly admiring of, look, not off the top of my head, they all were different, and we all had... I can't think of anybody that I... Some people you admired for their, like St. John, for his standing up for what he believed in, but you thought, I'm glad he's in their party and not ours. He'd be a political thorn in your side. But he was a man of principle, which I think we hoped they all were, but some more so than others.
There must have been one politician that you particularly admired.
Well, E.G. Whitlam, of course. Yes, yeah. And the one I knew best. Yes, there was nobody else particularly that I was close to. I guess we all went off in different directions when the Parliament wasn't sitting. You'd sometimes travel on a plane with somebody. I mean, there was a nice fellow from Adelaide called Don Jessop, who was a Liberal, who was always a gentleman, and but didn't have meals with him or anything like that, just a nice man. But
what was it about Gough Whitlam that you particularly admired?
I suppose his real sense of purpose and his real sense of wanting change for the better. I mean, as I say, when I started working for him in 67, I knew very little about him at all. I'd just seen him on the television, and he would have only been elected leader of the party about 2 months before I joined his staff. He had a style about him, an educated style about him, which I respected. He had a sense of humour most of the time. He was thoughtful. He was, as I sort of say, inclined to be a bit of a teacher to people. I didn't mind that because there was a lot I didn't know, a lot I learnt in that time I worked for him. Yeah, he was kind. He even offered to give me away if ever I would get married. So that sort of relationship. Yes, we used to have a lot of fun, laughs.
What influence did he have on your sense of politics?
Oh, I think a lot. I mean, I think about osmosis is very relevant to me anyway, about how you absorb your political values. I probably hadn't thought about it much before 67, and gradually I came to be aware of all the various issues and what politics was really about, the issues that were important. And yeah, you keep hearing these words. In the end, it's if you didn't agree with them or have some sympathy with them, you probably shouldn't be there.
Did you become a Labour supporter or voter as a consequence of?
Yeah, I certainly did. Yes, as I said in the first interview, I don't think I voted Labour before 1966 general election. Probably would have been my first, and I don't think I would have voted Labour then because I didn't have very much time for Arthur Calwell. But I wasn't thinking about policies. I was too superficial at that stage.
Have your values, did they change after, you know, over the years since have you still remained a Labour voter?
Oh, I have, yeah, I have. I think because, the things I sort of believe in, but I worked with Paul Keating was a young MP. I first remember him coming in to bringing Anita into the office when we were in the PM's office around the corner here, and introducing her to the staff. He was so proud of her. I've known him that long and worked with him because I worked in the Cabinet office after I left Parliament House, and I worked at Government House. So I've seen, and Hawke, I've worked with him. So I've been close-ish to some of these people throughout. So it's still, it's still the way I feel.
So politically, one might term the period as your formative years.
Yeah, my formative political years, I'd say. Mm. Yeah, very much so.
And but apart from him, from Gough Whitlam himself, there's no politician that you've worked with in director that would stand out for you?
Not particularly.
And of the ones that you did not admire or respect, you mentioned Vince Kerr.
Yes.
Any others?
No, I think he's enough. No, it's I'm not singling anybody out. I think there were people, as I say, that you like more than other people. Now, why do I have this apparent dislike of Malcolm Mackay? I don't really know the man. It was just obviously what other people thought of him, and something in his background which meant he was given this nickname of his oiliness, which he'd been some sort of a Minister of Religion, which I think is where it, and had something to do with some petrochemical company, which is why the nickname came. No feelings now for.
And Vince Gev, did you have, were this your personal dealings with him, or what you learned about him?
No, I didn't. What I learned about him, and the only other thing, he at the time of the VIP aircraft issue in 67, I think it was, when Gorton revealed in the Senate that there were passenger manifests from these flights when Harold Holt had denied their existence in the reps. And Vince Gare, as leader of the DLP, got hold of one of these manifests, which was involved probably in an election campaign trip of Whitlam's, and saying, now, who are all these staff? And he went through all our names, Barbara Stewart, Carol Summerhayes. I mean, one must be the masseur, one must be the hairdresser, and one must be the, well, some other silly thing. And so that put me off him too. I mean, but it was nothing more personal than that. There was no, he'd never manhandled me. I've heard of others who he has, but yeah.
What about the press? I mean, were you, any there that stood out as being either ones that you, admired in some way?
I wouldn't use the word admire or trust. No, it really was about who they wrote for. I mean, it was a political judgment, I guess, one's making, isn't it? But some of these other ones were friendships, which probably in our politics coincided. But no, there were a lot of really nice people in the press gallery, and we all had shared times together, which I think makes for friendships, doesn't it?
Did they, any of them, ever try to get some information from you that they perhaps otherwise wouldn't get?
I don't think so. I can't remember it. And they would have got fairly short shrift if they had tried. But, I would never have given anything away, so I don't think anybody would have even tried to get it. I don't think they were into that sort of thing. We didn't have much to tell anyway. I mean, it's a different thing when you're in government from in opposition.
As the Prime Minister's personal secretary, you would presumably have some information that might be of interest?
Oh, I suppose I probably did, but no, nobody ever came to me for
with parliamentarians or anybody else either.
Not that I have any recollection of at all. No.
During your years here, can you think of any funny, happy incidents that happened that stand out?
I can remember a happy incident. It was the Trudeau visit, and we had There was a ball in King's Hall, and I can still remember I borrowed a dress from one of my sisters. Pink again, it's twice I've talked about wearing pink. And it was such fun. And I think that had to do with his youth and vitalism and maybe, how we were all feeling here. That was, I don't even remember when that was, but that was happy fun. We used to have a lot of fun. We used to play cricket in the office and have dancing parties and talking about, just harking back to parliamentarians, I mean, I do remember a party in Billy Snedden's office when Andrew Jones, the youngest member of parliament at one stage, that young man from Adelaide, people were dancing with each other at this party and he whistled to me asking me for a dance, and I just turned around and I said, excuse me, I'm not your dog. And swept off. Now, I mean, he was younger than me, so I could give him a little cheek, I suppose. But sorry, where were we? We were talking about happy occasions. And sad occasions, yeah. I can remember a sad occasion when, I can't remember, it was something to do with the Tasmanian, I think it was when the Tasmanian Labor Party lost government. State government, and Clem Lloyd, who had been on Lance Barnard's staff, this is in opposition days, he came down, he was a great big burly bloke, and he came down the corridor from sort of the Speaker's office towards Barnard's office, and he was in tears. And it was all about just seeing a big man in tears like that. And it was apparently all about the Labor's loss in Tasmania, how seriously some people take their politics or how they take it to heart. I can't single out any other specific really happy occasions, but there were lots of them.
These dances and those sort of functions, where were they held?
In people's offices. We'd have a cricket pitch. You'd tape the... Did I tell you this story last time? You'd tape the wicket up onto the glass door leading out into the corridor with just masking tape, and the ball would be made out of rolled up paper, and they had some sort of a kid's cricket bat, and so it was quite serious. Lots of people out ready to catch. And
the offices in this building are rather small.
I don't know how we...
These were small parties or very crowded?
They were very crowded, I think. They weren't really small parties. And Bills and Papers used to have parties. And the Senate, we didn't always go over to the Senate because there was a bit of a them and us thing between the reps and the Senate. And Senate, Bills and Papers weren't as much party givers as the Senate Papers Office were. So we used to toddle over there occasionally. But more often than not, we'd stay on this side of the house. We'd go over to Lionel Murphy's office occasionally for a party or two.
That's an interesting comment. What was the what do you think it was that made the relationship between this side and the Senate side a bit different?
Oh, I don't know. But it always was. There's an element of it wasn't the real House of Parliament. It wasn't the real Parliament. It was. I wouldn't say that publicly, but there was certainly a feeling that the reps was the more important house. That's where power rested and where important things happened.
And that even permeated down to the staff level.
I'd say so. And don't forget that the Senate's, I think probably you'd say its rise in importance, a lot of that was due to Lionel Murphy and the committee systems that he established. Before that, I think it wasn't unreasonable to say that the Senate was a bit of an old man's club, where people who had served parties' loyalty were safely stashed. It wasn't full of bright young things, or particularly ambitious young things, I don't think. Murphy was unusual.
So the staff, his staff, and you,
and
Gough Whitlam's staff would not have much.
We got on quite well with. I think I can remember June Walters from Lionel's staff, but and George Negus was there for a while. But we got on all right with them, but we didn't cross that corridor to the King's Hall very often to go over to the other chamber. Well, you know, it showed in 75, didn't it?
And that even applied to the party scene.
It did a bit, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, it did a bit. We had friendships really were focused around what was going on in the reps.
What would you say would be your fondest memory of the time that you had at Old Parliament House?
I'd say probably the opposition days were the happiest times, and towards the end of opposition particularly, when I guess we knew that things were looking good electorally. Yes, I think that was when I was probably happiest. It was a big learning curve in the early days. It was, for when I first started here. So by 5 years later in 72, I felt a lot more comfortable with what I was doing and how things worked. I mean, I started off being asked to send something to all senators and members when I first started in Whitlam's office, so I copied it for all senators and members, Liberal, Country Party, DLP, the lot. I mean, just thinking literally and not savvily. So yes, it's I think that was probably the happiest days.
What would be your worst memories of the years here?
Oh, my unhappiest days, I suppose, the same sort of question. Probably towards the end. 74 wasn't a nice year really for me, 74. But we're going to talk about that later, aren't we? That's the only negative time I remember.
So not specific events, but more the time.
Yeah. Oh, I think probably my own sort of things that were happening with me. And yeah.
All right. Well, shall we leave it here for today, and then we'll come back to the other issues
okay.
Next time.
Yeah.